Reading from chapter 21, Prameya Abhideya Raghunuga Bhakti. Omigyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bayevicha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Vrajanath, what are the symptoms of such lobha? Vrajanath, we're following Vrajanath and Vijay, his uncle, in their journey in Krishna consciousness. And they took initiation from a Ratsika Vaishnava. A Vaishnava advanced in Krishna consciousness who has Shraddha or faith and realization of the mood of devotion of the residents of Vrindavan. And and therefore, naturally, in that association, they begin to inquire about Rag Bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous devotional service, because after all, it is specifically why Krishna appeared and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared after him, to give this type of love, spontaneous love, Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Shadma. It's Kevala Bhakti, only Bhakti. Only Bhakti in the sense that the impetus for the relationship is only one's attachment. There's nothing external to that attachment, like an obligation, an obligation to act in a certain way because you're dealing with God, you're dealing with superior. And therefore, because of that reverence, there's some rule in the love, which is pure love, but in a technical sense, it's not kevala bhakti, where when the relationship with God is God as Swayam Bhagavan, God as himself, his full manifestation as Krishna, whose being is not covered by his Aishwarya. Aishwarya, majesty, covers personality. If you meet someone in their position, you don't really get to know their full self. And therefore, the love is weakened in kind of a relative sense. It's weakened by that sense of majesty. And we know that even in the world, that intimate relationships of lover, parent, friend, that the force of the love is more powerful than a reverential love to an authority. So that type of Raganuga Bhakti means to follow and aspire for that type of love found in the residence of Vrindavan, which is called Raghatmika Bhakti. And what rag means is an intense attraction that colors one's consciousness with that attachment. And where it is Krishna who is the sole object of that love. And the adhikari, the qualification for that love, is a particular type of faith that one has. In our conception, based on the nature of their soul and brought out in relationship with a devotee who exemplifies that, and you get a particular type of faith. Now, that does not necessarily mean that you're qualified for Lila Smaran or meditating on your relationship with Krishna in Krishna Lila. That's a very advanced process that requires a purified mind of one who has that type of faith, which is called Lobha Mayi Shraddha, faith imbued with this greed or desire for being in Krishna's pastimes. And one may not have that faith and actually go to Bhava. But your faith is for worshiping Narayan, worshiping God in his full majesty. So it's not necessarily a hierarchical system. It's a different type of faith that one gets by his nature and proclivity. And just because you have that, or you have a spark of that, it doesn't mean you are yet qualified to meditate on the Krishna's pastimes and understanding what your full mana, your form is in Krishna's pastimes. So that's what he's explaining here. It's a type of faith that one has. And not just a level of advancement, but to have that type of faith is a great blessing. But it's another thing to be qualified for a type of Lila Smaran. And I'll just mention this right now. there is a particular process where one, the guru, seeing that the disciple's qualified, in conversation with the disciple, who within their own heart, by the pure chanting of the holy name, begins to get a sense of his spiritual identity, the guru can confirm that. And after that happens, one particular process was that the guru would confirm it and describe a little bit about the meditation on one's own form that the person should have. And then there was a particular way of meditating on that, which was called Ekadas Bhavs. But this was started after the Goswamis, this type of ritualistic kind of meditation. That was started after the Goswami, generations after the Goswami. And it was a particular way of doing this. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur happened to be in that line. But nowhere in the Goswami literature is this term Siddha Pranali mentioned. And basically the process, the more standard process, is that by chanting the holy name of Krishna, and when one's consciousness becomes purified, because the holy name is none different than Krishna, then the holy name of Krishna will manifest into Krishna's form, and then by chanting the name of Krishna, then one will realize the qualities of Krishna. And then in a sadhana kram, in a progressive path of chanting in purity, then eventually the consciousness would be purified enough, one's chanting would be powerful enough, that the lila would become manifest with Krishna's associates. And then one would could also realize something of his own sarup, his own nature relationship to Krishna. So this was actually the standard process given by the Goswamis. Offenseless chanting. When you chant the holy name without offense, then the heart becomes pure. The heart's like a mirror. And then you come to the stage of anartana vritti. Then, as you become purified, you'll catch a reflection of the Lord's form when chanting. And then the form and the qualities of Krishna appear one after another as one becomes fixed. And then when one attains ruchi or asakti or higher advances, the vision of Krishna's pastimes may appear in that pure heart. And then the pastimes of Krishna become manifest. So Raghunuga Bhakti depends on experiencing this reflection of the associates of Krishna. It's a genuine realization. It's not something mechanical. And when you have that kind of taste, the bhakti that's impelled by this taste, that's called Raganuga Bhakti. So what's given in Radhakund today and these other is basically kind of something, a process, but a process that was not given cheaply. In fact, when I went to Radhakund and I was speaking to some people, they would say that this Ekadas Bhav, the 11 characteristics of one's spiritual identity, they told me 50 years ago someone had to be chanting 2 or 3 lakhs to even of names. That means 128 rounds or 192 rounds before that was even considered. So let's go on. What are the symptoms of such lobe? This lobe means this greed to obtain that. That's the qualification when it's actually legitimate. So it says, when one hears about the intensely sweet bhavas of the Vrajavasis, one's intelligence begins to consider how one may enter these dealings. That desire is a symptom that lobe is awakened. So it's very natural. It's not something cheap. But when you hear about these pastimes, then you desire to enter them. A person who has the adhikari for vaidhi bhakti tests everything on the platform of intelligence, knowledge of shastra, and reasoning. And when he hears Krishna katha, he only accepts it if these three support it. So on the platform of the adhikari for vaidhi bhakti, you test it on your, is this reasonable? Is it shastric? Etc. But here it says, no. When you actually have this, you feel it. Like when a young girl or a young boy become attracted to each other, the parents can say this is not the proper person, but they can't say that you don't have that feeling. So basically, it's that, and therefore, because it's not that test, one can easily be sentimentally claim that I have this. But in all sincerity, when one has it, one will be inquiring how I can enter into those pastimes, how I can serve Krishna as one of the residents of Vrindavan. However, there's no such consideration in Rag Marg, for intelligence, knowledge of shastra, and reasoning are not desired on this path. They're not desired to affirm, or they don't guide what your activities are. What guides your activities is that lobe or desire or greed. All that is needed is greed for the sentiments of the Vrajavasis. What are the sweet bhavas of the Vrajavasis towards Krishna? Is it possible for me to obtain such bhavas? How can this be obtained? This intense yearning is the symptom of greed. And one who does not have it does not have the adhikari for Raganuga Bhakti. That you should understand. So then Brajanath asks, well, what is the process of Raganuga Bhakti? The sadhaka has developed greed towards the beautiful mood of a particular Vrajvasi, always remembers and meditates on his seva to that personality. So what is the thing? Once you have that, then you meditate on that person and his service. From what you've heard, of course, in the shastras, you have to have something. You have to have something to meditate on. So you're reading about the pastimes, and you develop this growth. I want to enter in. I want to serve in this particular way. And then And then you begin to remember and meditate. is absorbed in the mutual pastimes of the beloved Sri Krishna with that Vrajavasi, and he constantly resides in Vraja, either physically within the mind, having agreed to obtain his or her bhava. So because Vrindavan is the place where these God resides in his form of Krishna, where the devotees who have that love reside, it's a special inspiration for these feelings, and one meditates on that in their mind, if you're not residing there. He follows that Vrajavasi's example, and he always renders seva in two ways. Externally, he serves as a practicing sadhaka, and internally, he renders seva with the bhavas of his siddha deha. This is the process of Raghunuga Bhakti. So there's two things. It's here, your seva, externally. What is it? Seva sadhaka rupena. Anyway, how can I forget that verse? Seva. But anyway, the verse may seva sadhaka rupena. You follow the resident of Vrindavan, how they're serving Krishna, how they're practicing Krishna consciousness externally. And internally, you try to follow their, like for example, Rupa Goswami, externally, you follow their, externally, you follow their activities. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Nati B, Krishna Kirtana, how the six Goswamis lived, you follow how they practice, and internally their bhava, how they were having this particular feeling that I am a particular maidservant of Srimati Radharani, and that mood, and meditating on that mood, and meditating on serving that person in that mood. And this process is called Raghunuga Bhakti. So this practice is an advanced stage because the chitta, the consciousness, has to be purified by the holy name. Otherwise, it will not purely be able to reflect the pastimes of Krishna. Vrajanath, what is the relationship between Raghunuga Bhakti and the Angas of Vaidhi Bhakti? Babaji, the Angas of Vaidhi Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtan, and so on, are also included in the Raghunuga Sadhaka's practice. The Sadhaka follows the external residence of Vraja, and consequently he tastes the eternal bliss of service. At the same time, he observes the Angas of Vaidhi Bhakti with his external body. So he follows the practices of devotional service, specifically those ones that nourish the particular mood of devotion he wants. The main thing is that mood of devotion. I want to serve Krishna as a resident of and therefore we follow the practices that help us nourish that particular mood. Vrajanath, please explain the glories of Raghunuga Bhakti. Babaji, Raghunuga Bhakti very quickly bestows that fruit which one cannot obtain by observing the Angas of Vaidhi Bhakti with firm faith for a long time. Devotion on Vaidhi Marg is weak because it depends on the rules and regulations, but Raghunuga Bhakti is naturally strong because it is completely independent. So it's saying that if you're fortunate to come to the path of Rag legitimately, the advancement will be much, much quicker. Because it's not dependent on anything external to your own heart. When one adopts the spiritual conception of following in the footsteps of a loving resident of Vraja, Rag is awakened, which always involves the following processes of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, and Atmavedanam. Ruchi for following in the footsteps of the Vrijvasis is only awakened in those whose hearts are near guna, beyond material attributes. So it's a very advanced process to actually have this awakened within one's heart. That is why greed for Raghunuga Bhakti is supremely rare and the root of supreme auspiciousness. There are many types of Raghunuga Bhakti as there are Ragatmaka Bhakti. So this is basically going to be a summary of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but here it's basically confirmed what Prabhupada said, that Raghunuga Bhakti really fully manifests the practice of Raghunuga Bhakti. And that extreme ruchi and taste for it is only awakened when one becomes nirguna, when one becomes past anartha nivritti. Rajanath, how many kinds of ragatmika bhakti are there? Babaji, there are two kinds of ragatmika bhakti. That which is based on transcendental lust to satisfy Krishna, kama rup, and that which is based on relationship, sambandha rup. So, Raghunuga Bhakti is following the Ragatmaka Bhaktis, those perfected souls. And there are basically two divisions. Kamarup, which is conjugal love, and Sambandharup, which is friendship and parental love. Please explain the difference between Kamarup and Sambandharup. Babaji, is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7:1-30-31, Kamad Vishad Bhayat Snehad Yata Bhaktyeshvare Mana Abeshita Ragam Hitva Bahavastad Gatim Gita Kopya Kamad Bhayat Kamso Vishach Chadya Dayo Napa Sambandad Krishnayashnehad Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vabho. People who have attained the Supreme by complete absorption of the mind in devotion through lusty desires, kama, envy, dvesha, fear, boya, or affection, sneha, and by giving up the faulty aspects of those sentiments. The gopis have attained the Supreme by fixing their mind on Krishna through kama, Kamsa by bhaya or fear, Shishupal and other kings by dvesha or hate, the yadus by family relationships, sambandha, you, the pandavas, by affection, sneha, and we, the sages, Narada and others, by bhakti. So, first, he's explaining, we'll see where this goes because I haven't been able to review this today, that absorption, the reason why Raghunuga Bhakti is so purifying is because the connection with any object is most, the absorption in the object is most pronounced when it is inspired by the heart or some emotion than by the intelligence or the understanding. So Raghunuga Bhakti, because bhakti is based on absorption in the object of devotion. And when you're absorbed in the object of devotion, you receive the potency of the object of devotion to draw that love out of your heart. And that's how the process of bhakti basically works. And that's why of all yogas, bhakti is the best yoga. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena taratmanam shradhavam bhajate yomam same yukta matomata. Of all yogis, one who worships me with faith and devotion is the highest of all. Because the absorption is based on the heart, and the most consummate emotion is devotion. So here it's saying also, this verse from the Bhagavatam, that this complete absorption of the mind was obtained by some connection with the object of devotion, Krishna, through emotion. And then even the example is Kamsa, who had such fear of Krishna, was thinking of Krishna all the time and became purified. Same thing with Sishupal, who had envy and hate for Krishna. And he was always meditating on Krishna. He also received some type of liberation. Six principles are mentioned here, namely kama, lust, bhoya, fear, dvesha, envy, sambandha, family relationships, sneha, affection, and bhakti, devotion. Two of these, bhoya, fear, and dvesha, envy, should not be imitated because they are unfavorable sentiments. Now there are two kinds of sneha. The first is associated with sakyabhav or friendship. It is included in Vaidhi Bhakti, sakyabhav. And the second kind is related to prem. It has no application in the field of sadhana. Well, I don't understand this sentence, so I hate to do this to you, but I got to read this again. Who's Sakyabhav? Anyway, I don't know why I can't understand why the term is sakyabhav, but one is sneha, affection. It's by the Pandavas, but it's with reverence, not pure friendship. It's not in brudge. There's a conception of Krishna's divinity. And the other is also Narada, who has reverential love. So they're not also, therefore sneha has no place. The word bhaktivayam means that we, Narada, and other sages have attained the supreme by bhakti. The word bhakti here should be understood to mean vaidhi bhakti, and may refer to the vaidhi bhakti practices of the sages such as Narada, or to devotion mixed with jnan. So it's interesting, they obtained the supreme, but it's also not raganuga bhakti, because it's reverential devotion. So it's not following the ragatmikas, those who have this complete absorption emotionally due to an intimate relationship with God or an aspiration for an intimate relationship with God. The word tatgatim gata means that many people attain the supreme. It's important to have a clear understanding of this sentence. A single ray of sunlight, kirana, and the sun itself are one and the same substance, vastu. Similarly, Brahman and Krishna are one of the same substance. Brahman is simply Krishna's bodily effulgence. The jnana bhaktis merge into that Brahman existence, and so do Krishna's enemies when he has personally killed them. Some of them have attained sarupya bhas, a semblance of sarup, or having a form similar to Bhagavan, remain immersed in the bliss of Brahman. According to the Brahmanda Purana, they stay in Siddhaloka, the liberated world beyond the material world. Two kinds of jivas reside in Siddhaloka, those who obtain perfection through the cultivation of knowledge, Jnana Siddha, and asuras who have been killed by Bhagavan. Amongst these Jnana Siddhas, some who are extremely fortunate become the Ashraya of Rag, abode of attachment for Krishna, and they worship his lotus feet and thus obtain the ultimate aim of Krishna praying. In this way, they gain entry into the group of Krishna's dear associates. Let me see if I can... So it's basically saying they've all attained the supreme, but it doesn't mean they attained an intimate relationship with Krishna. The supreme could also mean Brahman, which is also Krishna, but it's not an intimate personal relationship. So what this verse is saying, that those who had some absorption in Krishna by some type of connection with the heart, they attain the supreme. So basically, it's promoting this conception that absorption is most powerful from the heart, but it's eliminating of the sentiments that are mentioned for as Raganuga Bhakti and also as leading to Krishna's abode. Well, one is, of course, fear and hate by Kamsa and Shishapal. It's described they attain Siddhaloka. As do the Jnana Bhaktis, those whose bhakti is mixed with reverence. And those people, they may ultimately go higher, at least the Jnana Bhaktis. So basically, he's going to, as the sun rays and the sun are considered one and one substance, similarly, there is no difference between Krishna's bodily effulgence, known as Brahman, and Krishna himself. The word tadgati means attaining Krishna's, attaining that is Krishna gati. The Jnanis and the Asuris achieve Sayuja Mukti, and both attain Brahman, which is the rays of Krishna's effulgence. The Shuddha Bhaktas develop Prem and attain service to Krishna, which is the root of all existence. Now, by removing boya, fear, dvesha, hate, sneha, and bhakti from the above-mentioned list of six characteristics, we are left with kama and sambandha. Therefore, kama and sambandha are the only bhavas that are applicable in rag marg. Thus, there are two types of ragamayi, kama roop, and sambandha roop. This is very... let me just see if I can... The question, what's the difference between Kama Roop and Sambandha Roop? And it gives this verse from the seventh canto. And the verse is when Narada is explaining how Shishupal has attained liberation, even though, to Yudhisthira, even though he had inimical feelings. So he said that the key is absorption. And when you're absorbed in Krishna, you attain the supreme. And then by analysis of this verse, by the commentaries, it wants to make clear that attaining Krishna and an intimate relationship with Krishna, the type of absorption and aspiration for that will only be kama roop, a aspiration for a conjugal relationship with God, or sambandha roop, which is an aspiration for either friendship or parental love. I'm going to stop now. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm asking you to actually just repeat what you just finished saying, which is that difference between sambandha and kama roop. Why is parental and friendship on one side and conjugal on another side? especially since
they're all relationship with Krishna.
Yeah.
But because the conjugal relationship is singled out for its speciality and intensity, it's given a different category. The others it's something like that. Of course, parental, obviously, there's a relationship, right? Friendship, there's a relationship. But this is almost beyond the relationship, especially with the gopis.
Because of its
intensity. You know, especially... Because it's what?
Because of its intensity, you think?
Because of its intensity and even the fact that... this is just kind of a speculation, but friendship and parental, there's some relationship there, societal relationship, you know, accepted relationship, but kamaru.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it somehow, and therefore, because of the risk involved, there's a certain intensity. But the main message here is, really, we have to chant the holy name offenselessly. We have to purify our consciousness. We have to read the Bhagavatam. And as the consciousness becomes purified and we're in the association of the devotees who are inspired by these things and we're hearing about these things, then they'll be reflected in our consciousness in a way that will really inspire us to enter into those things. Gail, I'm sitting in my room in Govardhan. I can't think of a place that's more ideal.
Mm.
Somehow, except at night to some loudspeakers from the distance, it's a very unique place I live because it's behind the ISKCON place where there are acres of land. They decided to make this kind of residential place and sell, you know, apartments. But they constructed it so poorly, and people just, with money, they buy apartments, and they never stay in it. So basically, I'm the only one, and then I have this huge garden in front of my house, like really big, maybe like a half acre. Not by my house, but like a middle thing. So it's relatively quiet, and now I have three apartments, and Kishori Radha and Tom, I've stayed overnight in the apartment next door. They just left at 4:30 in the morning because I'm right on the Prikram Marg for going around Govardhan Hill. And for the first 2 weeks of Kartik, we had Braja Kumari and, Radha Kumari and Brajaraj stayed with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they went around every day too. So it's kind of, and then in the ISKCON place, by Sheshka Prabhu and Keshava Bharti, with about 20 people, they read Prabhupada's books faithfully 5 hours a day.
Wow.
Two in the morning, three in the afternoon, 5 hours a day. So you got about 20 people just hearing Prabhupada's books 5 hours a day. It's quite a discipline. They don't discuss much. You know, but 5 hours a day. So the consciousness here is very, very high. And now Burijan just came and moved in. And it's quite like an intensely spiritual environment that I'm super enjoying. And
so that reading, is it somebody... One person just reading and the audience just listening?
That's their mood. I mean, I don't particularly go because my mind is too inquisitive.
Yeah.
And I do better. My mind is too inquisitive and I have my own program, mostly a lot of chanting. And and I give my own class. You know,
yeah.
In the afternoon.
I would definitely need the interactive version of that.
I used to go a little bit. I'm not that advanced. But they have such a taste. they have such a taste. And there's several God brothers there. I admire them like anything. But the inspiration they're giving me is to do that myself. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm just reading a half hour of Prabhupada's books. And I'm relishing so much. Even the different prayers and everything, just the devotion with which everything is said is just inspiring me tremendously. Okay.
I mean, I could read a long time by myself, but if there's another person, then I would want to.
I got it, Gail. That's why you're my disciple. You take the mood of the guru. You'd also be bored stiff, but that's our weakness. That's our weakness. We're Jnana Bhaktas.
Not bored, you know? Frustrated. You're frustrated.
What?
Not bored, frustrated. Because I would talk about it.
Yeah. I know. I wouldn't dream of having you in that room. You'd be such a disturbance. Okay. Okay. No, but they're so advanced. They're so advanced. And I'm getting something from it. I'm really becoming inspired to read Prabhupada's books by them. Mm-hmm. It's just I have such an inquisitive mind and contextual how things are said. It's just in a very advanced state. I can see by their consciousness they're very advanced. And they're training people in that way, and they're very advanced. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna,
can I get Govardhan and Rajarade together?
Who's that?
Wait, one at a time.
No.
Who is there? This is who?
This is Rajarade.
Okay, Rajarade. Now, who's the other person?
Jai Shri Radhe.
Jai Shri Radhe. Oh. Great to hear from you. I got all those nice gifts. In fact, even though I'm not eating sweets, because this morning, and I woke up at 12:15 here, before the class, I was so hungry, I had to take some of that chocolate-covered ginger mahaprasad that you sent. So thank you for that. Okay, we miss you out here, Jai Shri Radhe.
We miss you too, Guru Maharaj.
Okay, good. Okay, anybody else like to say hello? Haribo. Who's that?
Priya.
Would you like to say hello? Priya, you know, I have that beautiful painting right behind my Govardhan Shila that you sent me for Gopastami. So I really appreciated that painting. So keep up with that nice painting about Krishna. It's a nice way to think of Krishna. Okay. And your mother, she went around the hill, she said, for you and the children, so that she can become a better mother when she comes back, more devotional even. She's such a good mother, but she can even be more devotional. So they came here they've already been out for 3 hours. They must by now be approaching Radhakund. They'll probably make it around in 6 hours because they'll stop there. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Vanshakalpa Juvasakapas.